Awesome. Well, this looks like it's the last teleclass for the program. At least until the final workshop. So you guys have Jay next week on the 13th, correct, for a full day or for part of your day?
Yeah.
Great. And then we have our final workshop on the 19th.
Great.
Awesome. Well, why don't we jump into it? How are things going? Let's do just the general check-in that we've always done. Things that are going well, things that people are struggling with.
This is Peter. I've had some success with my personal 2x2. Set up a roadmap for myself for the year as far as with exercising and stuff. Set some goals for myself. Set a pretty clear path. It's only been 3 days, so I've been able to stick to that. So we'll see how we are in a month. But on a professional side, I've gotten a roadmap to Jeff as far as developing Eric Taylor, who will be moving into the purchasing department. So we're still working on finalizing that, but we have a plan for the next few months to help develop him. Feel pretty good about that, excited about him coming in and what he'll be able to bring to the group, and still have to finalize that roadmap, but feel very good about it. So making good progress on the 2x2, feel good about the roadmap and feel good about the plan that I have personally and professionally.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing. Who's next?
Ramon, I'll go next. One of the things that I've been working on is getting more organized, working on, planning my work week, my work days and things like that, and making sure I'm clearing out, clearing the space, getting rid of distractions and things like that, so that I can focus on the things that I need to make impact. And I will say it is a very a big challenge for me, but it's been working. I'm not 100% the way I need to be, but I could definitely see the benefit from the things that I've done, cleaning up my email, prioritizing, things that come my way, and avoiding distractions, finding hidden resources, using the right people to accomplish tasks that they should be doing, empowering my tribe members to make the decisions that they can definitely make, and not pulling me from the things that I need to focus on. So that's my update.
I'll go next. This is Vance. Over the past few weeks, it's just really been about discipline for me, utilizing some of the leveraged team management tools, Erta primarily, to really, give myself and give Jeremy some more time to focus in other areas, other initiatives in the company. That's been pretty successful. I did spend a lot of time trying to really pinpoint every single decision that Jeremy makes upstairs, and try to see what I can take off his plate, which really didn't work for me. But the good thing is that we have a plan in mind of how we're going to move forward, and some weekly check-ins that we're going to do. It's not set in stone yet, but the plan pretty much now is that whatever Jeremy thinks that he doesn't have to touch, he won't touch it. He'll let me and Mike make a decision on it, and we will review weekly to game film and make sure that's a good decision. That's on the higher end. That's trying to get some stuff off Jeremy's plate, underneath me with the finance team, really just setting some boundaries for those guys, for the other two finance guys and Mike, to really make some decisions and grow and be assertive in that position to where they feel like they're empowered to make a decision. They're growing. They're learning from their own mistakes, but giving them kind of the boundaries that they cannot, you know, go out of, and they know that they're not making a bad decision just yet. So that's been a big thing. And then sitting down with Jeremy and going over the 2x2, doing some road mapping, and just really being mindful of, you know, what we're saying we're going to deliver on. That was my biggest thing. I emphasized to Jeremy saying, you know, hey, we got to make sure we have room for all of the things that we're saying we're going to deliver on, and saying, you know, are there some things that we can put off and we can task some other members with? And, you know, just being mindful of our time and, you know, realistically, do we have the time to execute on all of these initiatives that we're planning on executing in this quarter?
Nice.
Hi, Jeremy. For me, the real, I guess, call it a win, is that things that we have been learning and practicing and working on over the last year are just starting to feel more like habit and less like we need to practice this thing because we just learned it. And so I find that I reach into that tool bag a lot more often now and know what things I can use. And so specifically over the last, you know, month or so with the holidays and all the things that we've been working on and planning, doing a lot of organizational focus, we now have a master calendar in place that's going to help us look out over the next year. We sat down and decided on what our 2016 2x2 should look like as a company, and then that really helped provide more focus when we started to break things down into smaller pieces and figure out what are we going to do over the quarter as departments that are in support of that large annual plan. I think we've also done in sales, we've really looked, as Vance mentioned, to find some hidden resources and look within our team, you know, to leverage the guys that we have to step up and take some initiatives, and that really, you know, it provides not only a lift from the production side, but it also gets some engagement going. That we're one of the things that we're really, really focused on this year, and so getting these guys owning things and engaged is I've seen, you know, kind of a new energy around the way they show up, and then, you know, when we look at our 2000 or their Q1 2x2. Really getting more granular and breaking things out, and like Vance just said, can we really accomplish all this, or are there some things we need to reprioritize or move around a little bit so that we can be 100% successful and accomplish what we said we are. So all in all, I think it's a good integration of a lot of the, you know, work structuring tools, and then every day there's opportunities for us to, you know, keep using this drama triangle and things that, you know, come up in the sales environment. So all in all, I feel really good about, you know, the our growing toolboxes and the way we just use it more in a habit formed way.
Thanks.
Steve, for me, the two main ones I've been working on is IRTA and Leverage Team Management. On the IRTA side, been working a lot with Steve Sullins and delegating a lot of the kind of the day-to-day decisions on things like company policies, expense management with him, internal controls. That's gone real well. He's definitely stepped up, and he's been around me since the beginning, 11 years, so he kind of knows what I pay attention to and what I don't pay attention to, and so that's really helpful, and he's making a lot of good progress there. So I've noticed that when I give him something to do, I let him run with it. I don't worry about it. It's kind of very similar to how work with Jeff, is that because we've been around each other so long, they get it. The other IRTA I'm not having as much success with is in accounting and just having them watch some of the expenses. And as we grow, there's lots of opportunities that I'm trying to coach them, but I'm not sure I have the right mindset in there. They've kind of operated with just processing stuff, but I need to figure out a way to get them to think more about it as opposed to just administer. And so I'm working with Jeff a little bit on how to do those. On the leverage team management side, there's some areas, and I posted on the e-journal about where I'm having some wins and where I'm still struggling. I think I've made some progress in assign, don't do. I'm really trying to give out more things to do. So I find a lot of these things I could do pretty easy myself and wrap them up and get them done quickly, but I lose the growth opportunity. And recognizing from where we're going, we've got some very, very aggressive growth targets this year, so I just have to constantly be mindful of, even though it's quick and easy and I can get it done and move on, the long-term consequences of that, especially this year, are really severe. And so the assign, don't do, I'm going to be pushing a lot more. Still falling into a habit when I assign, don't do. I feel sometimes I go too deep in telling them how to do it, as opposed to I need to get a little bit better on here's what I want done. You figure out how to get it done and allow them to do it. So I'm aware of that, just need to get a little bit better.
Mike. Yeah, the mindset shift, especially on IRTA, going back to the statement you made about accounting, that's a difficult shift when you're pushing them from, you know, sort of processing and sort of getting paperwork through versus actually having to make decisions in a balanced way, or try to use judgment in a balanced way. I can sympathize with that struggle for sure. So, well, thank you guys for sharing that. I appreciate the update. One of the things that's on your implementation plan is a final presentation at the workshop, a 5-minute presentation for each of you based on a big win. I just want to check in. I don't necessarily need to hear the whole summary or what you're going to present, because otherwise it'll be fairly redundant for everyone. But I do want to just make sure there are no questions. If you have questions, let's talk about them as a group, or you can ask me specifically, and we can make sure we're working past any of those roadblocks.
Yeah, this is Peter. What specifically are you looking for us to present, and is there any specific format that you need us to present in?
No specific format per se, but PowerPoint is always helpful, but I don't want it to be a roadblock to getting what you actually have to say out there, right, if that makes sense. So if PowerPoint just becomes too obtrusive, then don't do it. But we'd love to basically hear about a win that you put up on the board through the past year using whatever tools and techniques we've covered in advanced execution, or what might have even contributed. So it might be a couple of steps removed, but effectively, what have you learned, and how did you apply it, and how did you get a win as a result of it? So can someone just give me an example of, just at the very high level, a topic that they're going to try to flesh out as part of this?
Well, Bert, this is Peter.
You don't want us to give away the secret, though. I mean, you got to...
Yeah, what about we're going to do a laser show and stuff. You know, we don't want to give away the... the presentation.
Yeah, no, I get that, okay. But I do want to just make sure, I mean, does everyone have a topic? Let me ask you that.
Yeah.
Great, okay. Does anybody feel like having their five-minute presentation ready by the 19th will be difficult, if not impossible, unless things happen differently for them right now?
No.
Okay. That's all I need to hear. If you guys have any specific questions, feel free to reach out to us individually if you'd like, if you don't want to discuss it in the group. But we're here as a resource. Let's just make sure that we're removing any roadblocks. Next kind of major topic is you guys are up on the 13th. Are there any questions, things you want to talk to, think through, work through in service of the deliverables for the 13th?
I think we're on a good track. I mean, it seems like we started this process pretty early on this time, and I've had a lot of time to, you know, get with my team and kind of, even as the, you know, changes are made. So I personally feel like we'll be in good shape for the 13th. I don't really have much to discuss on it right now.
Okay.
I'm in agreement with Jeremy. I mean, we came out of the retreat. We put our 2x2s for the year, and then we had them departmentalized, and then we actually started working on some of the things, and going into the 13th, basically, we're just trying to lay out a granular plan and action steps and things that we're working on and focusing for the first quarter to build to the second, and then there forward. So, I mean, it appears to be pretty crystal clear in terms of what we need to do, and I don't have anything that I'm stuck on. I mean, we've been going to work at it since we left the retreat, so.
Yep. Okay. Just wanted to make sure I'm checking in on that. So I appreciate that.
I think for me, Rufus, Steve, the area where I'm probably struggling the most, it's just with the sheer pace of the business has really grown faster than our ability to staff up, and we ran through the fourth quarter pretty understaffed, and then the first quarter, historically, we've gotten huge jump in business, and so we are really behind the eight ball, and there's lots of things that we need to do to meet our growth targets, but I'm having just challenges when I look at the first quarter, because the purpose of the meeting on the 13th is to take our 2016 2x2 initiatives and say, what are we going to accomplish in the first quarter? And where I probably am most nervous is in sales, where I just feel we're trying to do too much in the first quarter, given the fact that the volume of business that we're going to incur and the short staff we're having to recruit. We're having to onboard, train, and then we're introducing digital contracting. We're implementing a whole new system of a role called sales operations that we have not really, we've defined, but we haven't tested. We are implementing potentially a new key system. So there's just a lot of initiatives being put in the first quarter, and I'm having a hard time balancing. We've got to do these things because the business is calling for it and is demanding. If we don't do it, it's going to create pressure. But are we trying to do too much in the first quarter? And I think what I've got to just really digest and work with Vance and Jeremy and Jeff on is, do we need to do all of these? And if so, which we may find we have to do these things, I personally need to relax some of my expectations and just realize that it's probably going to be even sloppier than I'm already anticipated. So I've already lowered, you know, kind of my expectations that it's going to be messy. But I may have to even lower more. That's hard where in the past when the growth has disrupted the employee experience and the customer experience, I've pulled back. And I'm trying not to do that because we do need to grow and just balancing those things. And maybe just have to live with some messiness for 6 months.
Mm. Team, how do you respond to that?
Yeah, I think Steve's exactly right in that we're faced with this problem that either, well, it can't wait, but it's going to be somewhat disruptive and messy. It's not, I mean, there are things that we absolutely must do, and we must do them very quickly and in a short time frame, and there's a lot of, you know, so it's sort of one of the things where I feel that the right thing to do is to, I don't want to say power through it, but really just, you know, say that, okay, we're going to accept that things are going to go a little bit messy, but we are going to get through this, and it is going to be a huge success and beneficial for us to hit our growth that we've projected out over the year. And some of the anxiety that Steve's feeling, I think when we kind of break down and look at, you know, week by week and month by month in the first quarter, will hopefully be resolved when we can say, you know, there are a lot of moving pieces, but there's a good plan in place, and we're gonna execute on it. So I think even though there is it really is going to be a busy and trying time, I think it is going to be the right thing to get through it this way.
What are some ways you guys actually can mitigate the disruption?
I think for the most part, it's warranted, it's expected. Steve's caution, and I think that's one of the things that makes us strong and good at what we do, just being cautionary. But I think one of the things that we absolutely have to do, well, there's a couple things. One, we've got to be transparent, and that just starts with Steve being transparent about his caution. Two, we absolutely have to communicate, because communication quick and concisely is going to help us get through it. And three, as an executive team, leaders in the company, this is why we're here. And this is the point that we step up and we use our knowledge, our skills, knowledge, and abilities that got us here and got us this opportunity with Driver Select, put it in play. So that we can, you know, make the transition work. Because this is it's a scary time, but it's also the best time. This is why we came. We came to grow it, and to move the company forward. And so in order to do so, we got to use our skills, knowledge, and ability. But first and foremost, we have to communicate and be transparent in doing so. So we're going to bump our heads, though.
Okay.
We'll learn from
that. Yeah. I think that's an important principle, so transparency, especially with what's going on when there are disruptions. I think what you alluded to is sort of Steve's ability to be transparent about how he's feeling about things. I think that's a really important point, which is the more you hold on to the internal state without actually bringing it up for whatever reason, the higher likelihood you guys have of sort of falling back on maybe old habits. But one thing that's really curious to me is how would you guys have approached this type of period, this sort of situation a year ago? And what are you doing differently now as a result.
I think, this is Vance, by the way, that's what's comforting to me. Last year this time, making these decisions and kind of looking at the quarter, looking at the initiative, really just saying, yeah, we got it, and just going through and really not having to plan at all, not being cautious of, you know, the environment, how it's going to disrupt, and, you know, having the tools to really, you know, settle our environment and, you know, have those conversations, you know, on why what we're doing is going to, you know, help us get to the next level of the business. I think those are some key things. Me and Jeremy sat down, went over the 2x2 and Mike, and those are some really things that we paid attention to. You know, do we really have a good plan that we're going to be able to execute? Do we have the support that we need to execute? You know, one thing I've been talking about is Erta, you know, taking some stuff off of Jeremy's plate. That way, you know, he can oversee these projects and make sure that, you know, we're going to be able to execute these things and do it in the way that's not going to affect, you know, our sales targets. And same thing for me, too. You know, getting as much as I can off my plate. That way I'm there to support Jeremy. So those are some huge things. We've been very mindful of our time, the support that we need, the communication that we need, and making sure that we have a really, really detailed plan of execution and, you know, having that, you know, pinpointed and timed out on the calendar, saying, you know, we should be able to execute these plans by this date. Here goes how we're going to do it. So, yeah, compared to last year, a lot more detail, driving really, really, really deep on each initiative, and, you know, making sure we have the proper support, you know, the communication and how we're going to do those things. That's huge for me compared to last year, is the how-to on these plans.
Nice.
Yeah, and this is Peter. Yeah. I think last year, what we would have done is we would have had our, you know, 4, 5, 6 big initiatives, and we would have just went after it, and everything would have been half-assed. This year, I think we're more conscious of the fact that to be successful and grow the business, all those initiatives are very important, but we can start to prioritize which ones are most key and what we can accomplish right now. So for the next month and a half or so, we can set 1, 2 of the most important initiatives, focus on those things, get those down pat where we can get a green check mark, and then assess the next 1, 2 big initiatives that are, you know, key to moving forward, get those, get a green check mark. And over the quarter, we'll see that we've been able to accomplish everything because we had a more narrow focus on 1 or 2 initiatives at a time, opposed to, you know, spreading ourselves too thin by trying to do 4 or 5 different things all at once.
I wasn't here last year, but there's another layer that the initiatives to me that are in the drive daily that are, you know, going down to the next layer of management and to the team that we have. I feel like the things like daily production and things that we're doing in drive daily and sales are, you know, those things are happening, you know, much more consistently, and they're being the ownership is at another layer of management. So Vance has taken a lot of initiative to make sure that the big production goal of sales is happening, which allows us to really take on some other things, which are working on the business and some of these developmental project type things, which is to me a huge win, because you don't have to worry that, you know, we're not going to, you know, deliver on what we're, our production. It's always there, and we're always conscious of it, and we're working and continuing to improve on it, but it's less in the we're still figuring out how we show up and deliver our sales goals. It's more in the it's executable now. And so I think that, you know, that to me gives me a lot more confidence, and it also, you know, just having another layer of management team that are willing to step up and help deliver on some of these other initiatives. Like Ramon said, you know, this is the time that we are going to be tested, and this is the time that we are going to grow, and we are going to stand up and deliver on some of these things. So I think it's that kind of, you know, Ramon and I have really developed a good working relationship on the day-to-day operations, and that, you know, that gives me the confidence to say that, you know, he has my back, I have his back. We're gonna be able to, you know, we're gonna be able to accomplish all the things that we look at. When I look at my 2x2, it's not just my 2x2. I see support in every direction. I look at his, and we figure out how we can, you know, how we can, as a team, be successful. That to me makes, you know, a lot of the anxiety go away. But knowing that it's still going to be a very, very trying and stressful quarter, and we expect that. That's how you grow.
Yeah.
I think one of the things. Yeah, a couple thoughts. As far as first quarter last year versus first quarter this year, you know, in fact, the first quarter last year was extremely profitable. It was our most profitable quarter of the year because we didn't have as much volume, but we had extremely high gross margin. We went into the first quarter with sales pace equal to our staffing levels. And we were averaging, you know, right around 180 sales a month. This quarter, we're going to average about 400 sales a month, and with about the same number of people. I mean, we've added maybe 4 or 5 additional people, and we've doubled our sales. And so the ability to execute is going to be a lot higher. So what we've been able to do is simplify the business, and we cut a ton out. Anything that has friction or high effort, we have looked for ways to eliminate those things. And I think, you know, which brings me to the second part of your question is, given the challenges that we have, what are the levers that we can pull to give us the best chances of hitting our goals? The first thing is we've got to continue to simplify things. That to me has been a big part of our success in 2015. What we found is, the more we pull out of the business and narrow the focus, and where we're able to bring all of our energy, resources, time to a few key areas, we tend to have higher levels of execution and higher levels of clarity as to what we do, what we don't do, and not get tempted. I think the big thing is not to get tempted by the one additional sale. We can make this deal if we just did this. And so we just have to be extremely rigorous in simplifying the business model. And specifically, that means not get tempted to doing things like out-of-state deals, right, that are very complex, that take a lot of time and management, because we've got so many leads coming in and so many opportunities. We don't want to be tying up a significant amount of resources in certain areas. There's another lender that we could get this one deal done for this one lender, when stop doing 3, 4, 5 deals a month with the lender. When we got other lenders, we're doing 50, 75, 100 deals a month. Much easier to pass on that one deal and eliminate those 3 or 4 or 5, the time it takes to talk to that lender, structure, follow up, fund the deal, the funding discrepancies come back, all these things that it doesn't, the challenge is when you look at it individually, it looks like, oh, this is an easy decision. But when you start looking at the opportunity cost of doing that, then it confuses the team. Oh, well, we can do this, but we did it that one time. We must be able to do it again. So just little things that I've got to make sure that we continue to simplify and just stick to the disciplines. We had a situation where we took a trade in, and, you know, our brand messaging is 1 to 3 year old cars under 30,000 miles. Well, we got a car in with 32,000, 33,000, and, oh, we can retail that one. But, you know, yes, there's all these temptations of the business that we can do, but we've got to stick to our winning formula, and I think that's going to be really key, is just simplify it down to what we do and don't try to push outside the guidelines to do an extra deal here or there, and then continue to clarify and drive accountability. I think that's a big opportunity. That's one of the things I'm working with Jeremy a lot is we've got to start holding people more accountable. We talk a lot and we threaten a lot, but there's got to be some consequences. And, you know, I shared an example with him this week how I felt bad, but I let someone go through 4 or 5 different mistakes, and I kept threatening them that I was going to take action. And by the fifth time, I had to take action, and that fifth action cost that person double what it would have cost them had I had walked my talk and held them accountable on the second consequence. So it's a learning lesson for me, and, you know, we just got to make sure that we simplify, clarify, and hold accountable, I think, are the three major themes to hitting our target. And for the 13th, I think we're all feeling really optimistic, which is very encouraging, and I don't want to lose that enthusiasm and optimism. But at the same time, if we're over, there's a term Jim Collins calls productive paranoia. And you've got to be a little paranoid about certain things that, you know, think about if we didn't hit our goal, what would stop us this quarter? Right? And that's what we need to be zooming out to say, these are the potential things that would prevent us from hitting our goal. And let's address those. And then get optimistic about solving those. But if we just say, oh yeah, we're different this year, we got a better team, we've been doing all this, and we're optimistic, we're not going to, the awareness of some of the things that are going to knock us off course, they're going to surprise us. And so I would say is use a little bit more productive, the key word is productive paranoia.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you guys are talking about. And, you know, as I reflect on sort of the year and what's up for you guys this year, the fact that we're having this conversation and the fact that the entrepreneur of the business, Steve, is already vocalizing we might have too much on our plate, almost never happens. I mean, think about that. Like, just when was the last time you can say, I consciously think, okay, we had too much on our plate and we've got to stay focused on the thing that we know we're going to execute against? That's powerful, right? I mean, I think that helps at least walk the talk in a way that has improved over the last year, at the very least. One thing that I'm really curious about is, are there ways for you guys to beta some of the non-revenue, non-in-the-business initiatives that allow you to minimize the disruption in case it goes the other way?
Yeah, I mean, there are, for some things, it does make sense. For example, one of the things we'll be working on in Q2 is a team-based sales. And we can certainly use that formula, you know, trying a ring-fenced beta program where we're, you know, maybe taking a smaller section of the team to kind of flush out the details and work while it's messy before we commit fully. And then I think on the other side, there are some things that, you know, I don't think the messiness for the sales support team I think the sales support team will be an effective help that we will continue to improve.
improve on, and it's not really, it's something that, you know, Ramon's used another, you know, used this type of person. I even, you know, Vance being in, with his background, has a lot of energy and ideas about how these guys can be successful. And then we've got some good support from CEOs to say, you know, yeah, we understand this is going to help us out. We know it's not, you know, it hasn't been a six-month trial plan, but we can get it going. So I think there are opportunities, and certainly when we look at things, we ought to decide, you know, is it something we ought to try to beta or, you know, do a test on before we make it go live?
Yeah, I mean, I would.
I think one of the things when you raised that question about beta, what we're doing is we're introducing a whole nother role into sales, and the current plan is to go out and get five of these people and put them all in at one time, and then figure out exactly what that role is going to entail. At the same time, we are understaffed in sales, and we're having to hire quite a few salespeople, and there's just when we've just done that in the past where we've had to bring on 3, 4, 5 salespeople at one time, that's taking pretty much the whole resources of the sales department to get them up and going. And now we're going to bring on 3, 4, 5 of these guys and dump another 5 more on the floor. Now you got 9 people to train, and 5 of those is a totally new department that you've got to figure out. So, you know, we just need to think about, do we want to bring on all 5 at one time, or do we beta it with 1 or 2, ring fence it, figure it out, and then once we figure it out, then we add more to it, right? That's one option. Another option is you bring the 5 on, but you simplify the role down to a few functions first instead of just put all 5 in and say, here are the 10 things that this role is going to do, go do them. And you just say, look, we're going to put 5 of them in there, and they're only going to do 3 things. And then we're going to do those 3 things for the first quarter, and the CEO's got to do everything else. And then in the second quarter, we add 2 or 3 more responses. You know, so if there's 10 things they got to do, can we space those things out over the year is another way to do it. But I think what we've done now, at least what I've noticed, is we've written a really good job description, and we've identified what they're going to be doing, but I'm real nervous about, with everything we got going on, taking 5 brand new people in a brand new role with limited staffing and management capability, because it's just Jeremy and Vance is really all we have
right
up there. And Vance is pretty much tied up with CEO productivity. And so, you know, do we have the capacity to put 5 people on and train them on all the different roles and responsibilities? I think we just got to think that through a little bit more and say, what's the right balance? Otherwise, it can be, because I think we will achieve more doing less, doing a whole lot less than taking 5 people and trying to train them on all areas of the role and get them to do it. I think we should really strip that down to either a few functions or a few people doing, you could say, look, let's do 2 people doing the whole role or 4 or 5 people doing 20% of the role, 30% of the role.
Yeah, it's interesting, right? Especially, so when I hear, let me just play back what I hear from it, because it's been a while since we've all talked. At least, you know, Jay's got deeper context, but I'm coming from a different perspective, right? So we've been busier than we've ever been before. We got a lot of things pulling on us, so we've got to stay focused. We got a new role that we're creating. Typically, onboarding takes almost all of our sales resources, but we definitely want to grow. and we're going to bring five people on at the same time for a role that's not necessarily completely hashed out. It's got a good job description. We think we know what it entails, but we also are experienced enough to know that it more than likely won't go the way we expect it to. So there's some risk there, right? There's some high risk there in terms of bringing all five on at the same time. A question I would have is maybe one or two on your intuition there, and I'm going to go into advocacy here, so take that for what it is, but one or two people, do you guys have a pretty explicit onboarding plan that actually allocates resources per subject or per week for this role that the person can walk through and start to alleviate some of the organizational resources that are required to actually onboard them?
This is kind of how I'm looking at things right now, and I just we are a busy restaurant with only servers up there on the floor. And Vance loves my restaurant analogy. Our servers take care of the customer from the time they walk in to the time the check's signed, and we need more servers and we need some help, and these guys. We'll have very simple, explicit roles, busters, to help the servers be more effective in their day. And so the plan that Ramon and I have been working on and we feel pretty good about is to do just that, bring these guys in, train them on the inventory piece, how the cars move around, and then give them very specific 3 or 4 bullet points of what they will do and what they definitely will not do in order to help sales, the salesmen spend more time in front of their customer and be more effective. And so it's the role is new, it is very specific and detailed, and, you know, there will be the distraction of a salesman trying to get more or do more or anything that will be managed and pushed back on by us. But what it will do is it will allow the salesmen, it will allow our short staff sales to be more time with more customers while we onboard more salesmen. So it's really in support of the ability for us to bring on more salesmen right now because we're clearing their space away. And with these guys, we're using some people who are already inside the business. These are not five new guys. We're choosing to do our current inventory person who already knows the job, who will be able to take, who has already started to train the first hire. And then we're also taking one guy off of the sales floor that really understands or has several months of experience of how the sales floor works and what the dynamic is up there. So combine those two with a guy we're bringing in from a place where he's supervise a similar type of role to really keep this project successful. I feel good about it. I think we've got, you know, with those things in mind, it's not just dumping five guys into a new role and just letting them figure it out.
The role is new. The actions aren't. And, you know, we've started out, we've carefully selected and then carefully recruited specifics to this role. So the title of the role is new, but the actions of the role is not. And that and the team built around it is deliberate. So and Jeremy's right. I think that once we get these guys fired up and going, like the one guy we have, who's already doing all of this, imagine if he didn't have any other task to do but do that. He would probably be more effective. And so, like I said, we made deliberate decisions to put the team together that we did. And so I think that it'll actually free up our CEOs in hopes that they will be more efficient and more impactful to the business. So.
Yeah, and this, I mean, it ties in with another initiative we have, which is merge settlement to accounting. Mm-hmm. We put one more thing on our CEO's plate, which is going to be doing the digital contracting with the customers now. That's something they've never done before. So along with adding something onto their plate, we're trying to take something off, which is some of the, you know, labor-intensive stuff, running around, grabbing a vehicle, putting gas in it, going to overflow lot. So I think our hand is kind of forced to bring on these guys, but I think the plan the plan is very thought out. So, you know, what these guys are going to be doing. Whenever the idea first came up, you know, I specifically told Jeremy my biggest concern is, you know, making sure we have it clear-cut what these guys will not be doing, because I don't want them to be abused by our sales team. I feel comfortable with it, but I do think that, you know, with you know, Steve has some valid concerns. I think there are some daily, you know, daily routines that these guys are going to have to get into, as I explained to Jeremy, saying, you know, hey, there's going to be a lot of downtime where they're not going to be supporting our sales staff. You know, how do we fill that time with some, you know, productive tasks that these guys can be doing? And we've said that. We talked about it. We have a good idea of what those tasks are. It's just about putting it, you know, down on paper. And that's, you know, that's saying that they're not going to be supporting recon. You know, and I don't know, that may be the answer. They may be supporting recon in their downtime. If not that, then we have a bunch of other tasks that we think that we have an agenda for an entire week for five guys to be able to execute on and stay productive.
You know, just in my experience, if you guys, in a way, a possible way, it's not the only way, but one way to sort of mitigate some of the risk of bringing on five new people for already defined tasks that you guys already know and some of them are already experienced is, whoever the most experienced, whoever has the broadest perspective on what the role is going to be, who's actually doing it, who's not one of you guys, actually have them modify your onboarding plan as they go. Right? So what you guys have written down for them in terms of onboarding versus what they're actually doing or what might actually help, you get a little bit of co-creation there and you get some buy-in, but you also get the ability to shorten the cycle time on training as you go. And you solidify any of the winnings or any of the wins or knowledge that come out of just having someone do the role for the first time. Now, I get that the tasks are not new, but having them do it in that order as a defined role is new, right? And so the more you can document, the more you can get someone within the role to document, the better, because it allows you to sort of transfer the knowledge as you continue to expand this role.
Yeah, I mean, it looks really similar. It doesn't look like much of a disruption, but in much of the way that it reminds me of, you look at a tennis singles player, and that's our CEO today. And he knows exactly where he needs to be, where he needs to attack the ball, his footwork, everything, because he's the only one the ball's coming to. Now what we're saying is we're going to move our singles players to a doubles player, and we're not going to give him any time to practice. He's going to go live day one. And when you're playing doubles versus singles, you got a wider court. You got to be in constant communication, know who's going to hit the ball, where your position is totally different. Half the time you're at the net, half the time you're back. I mean, it's a much more complex game. And that's what we're trying to do. So I want to be clear on this, is that I am extremely supportive of this role. I do not think you should hold back in doing this. So I want to make sure that I'm not coming across as saying that this is about let's move forward in doing it. What I would say is be extremely careful on what you can realistically achieve in Q1 and take some of the things that you have in your ambitious plan for Q1 and see what could we push to Q2 and Q3 in this sales operations role that would not disrupt anything currently. Because I don't think you have to do the whole thing in Q1. And I would just have more of awareness right now that my opinion is, with the growth of the business doing 400 cars and taking four more CEOs and bringing them on exceeds the current capacity of your team. Just that alone, if we did nothing different, I think the volume of the business in developing four CEOs has already exceeded your capacity. So you've got 10 gallons of water in your 10-gallon bucket, and then I've got another 4 or 5 gallons I need to pour into this bucket with a sales operations role with 5 people. And I understand it's all the same roles, but you're moving from singles to doubles, and so there's a whole lot of coordination, and we just need to think through some of this stuff. You know, one thought is, and again, I'm just using this as an example, not saying do this and go, but we're trying to say we're going to put sales operations role in, we're going to dismantle settlement, people do it, the department that's doing the customer contracting, and we're going to shift the customer contracting to the CEO, and we're going to introduce a new contracting system all in the same quarter. And what we may want to do is say, look, does it cost the company more, potentially? If we slowed that up and said, look, what if we just added the sales ops role, kept settlement in for the quarter, let digital contracting work, and then we postpone the CEOs doing the contracting to Q2. So that would slow things up, right, and would be so disruptive for them. And then, you know, are there some things you could say on certain deals we could have the CEO do, you know, test it? But to move everything over all at one time, I'm not saying, again, that's the way to go, but look for those type of opportunities. Would the CEO doing the signing versus keeping settlement change the number of deals? Would you do more deals, have the CEO do it, than settlement? And if the answer is yes, then you may want to do it. If the answer is it's not going to impact it, then push it to Q2. So look for those type of things that you could say, what are the things we don't have to do in Q1 to hit our target? I would say just focus on what do we have to do to hit 400? And if it's not going to impact that, push it.
Yeah, I think plan sounds good, what you're saying. I still, I'm very comfortable with the plan that we have now. Dismantling the settlement. We never said, hey, we're just going to take it out all in one day. You know, we said, let's try to do this in a staggered type of way to where it does not disrupt sales, that we can learn slowly by the transition. So it's a pretty slow transition to it just being, totally gone out of our environment, because we were very conscious of, hey, we don't want to just make this shift from night to day and then really, disrupt the entire sales team of what we have going on. So that's one area.
Yeah, again, I'm not saying that's the one. You may go say, look, we're going to dismantle settlement, we're going to shift it over. That's fine. What I'm saying is more about what are the potential things you could not, because you're looking, the focus right now is what do we have to do in Q1 to hit our targets, right? What I would say is also ask the question, what don't we have to do in Q1? So here's our plan for Q1. Here's everything we want to do. What are the things in that plan that we do not have to do to hit our target? And that's what I'm saying is simplify, pull out. Because I would be surprised that your first initial plan cut everything out and that you have to do every single thing in that plan to hit your targets. I bet there's some opportunities you could say, I could pull out this, I could pull out this, I could pull out this, and we would still hit our targets. If that's the case,
right. What I would offer is that just adjust the language, right? I would move those things to work in. It's not like they fall off completely. You're just prioritizing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And as capacity opens up in Q1 and you guys are ahead of schedule and things went better than you expected or smoother than you expected, bring them in and start allocating resources to them. Right? Don't let them fall off completely. Just know where they sit in the prioritization.
Yeah,
Guys, it's a, that's a fairly meaty, sounds like you guys have a lot to talk about on the 13th, and I certainly appreciate the path that this conversation went down, because I think we got to a really nice, meaty topic. I'll make sure to pass on to Jay some of the key points from this, so he has some context going into y'all's conversation next week.
Cool.
But I really appreciate the time, and recording should be available in the next 24-ish hours.
Thanks, Rube.
Thanks, Rube. See you on the
19th. All right, guys. Thanks. Take care. Yep, take care.